Our epistle for this Feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for in him were created all things, in the heavens and on the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominations or powers or principalities. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. Again, he is the head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the first place. For it has pleased God the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on the earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. At that Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own people and chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would certainly have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, I am a king. This is why I was born, and why I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at
the hour of our death. Thou sayest it, I am a king. This is why I was born, and why I have come into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a discourse, my dear friends in Christ, between Pilate and our Lord. A conversation placed in Scripture for us to read, to meditate on, to comprehend, to draw lessons from. Here we have our Lord having been abused the night before by his own people, taken prisoner after having sweat blood in the garden. Is handed over to the Gentiles as she prophesied. And they heaped up charges against him. And all the charges that they made, one is highlighted by Pilate. Catches his interest. Perhaps it's the thing that he could pin in an accusation on that would justify him pleasing this people he was supposed to govern. Or perhaps there was an intrigue trying to figure out whether or not Christ was crazy, maybe incapable of standing for judgment, and thus he could dismiss him as insane. But once he starts talking to our Lord, he knows better. He asked him what he had done. After Christ responds to him that, "Do you say this, that I'm a king of yourself, or have others told thee of me?" And Pilate's like, "I'm not a Jew. Your own people have turned you in. What have you done? Why do they hate you so much?" Christ talks about his kingdom not being of this world. No, it's not of this world. But we must find it in this world. It's not of this world, but we can find it in this world by his grace and by his goodness. My dear friends in Christ, it's a kingdom of love, true love. Well, not an infatuatory love like cows love grass. It's a love that's soul deep, that requires an engagement to the higher faculties, the intellect and the free will. That's why when we read in today's epistle, there's a little word you find in there. That is understood, that you find absolutely in the gospel. If connotates free will. Love cannot be forced, otherwise it's not love. It's something other than love. But he is the king of love. God so loved the world to send his only begotten Son, and the Son so loved us that he laid his life down for our salvation. Now, it's important for us to stop here for a moment and to consider what the reality of this is to us. Do we take it personally? Do we really think about it? Or is it just the Catholic thing that we're meant to think about? You know, if you continue along with the story or the accounts of Pilate and Christ, after Pilate questions Christ and has this conversation with him where he's no doubt awestruck, and he goes and tries to get Christ released, because "I find no cause in this man. I'm going to release him." And they start playing politics. And Pilate, to appease them, thought, "I'm going to chastise him and let him go." Abuses his power. Has Christ misused by a scourging, which is incredible. And the soldiers mocked the very thing that Pilate had a conversation with him about, a king. And they stuck on his head a crown. And they put a reed into his hands. Then Christ goes before Pilate, and Pilate looks at Christ and is moved. Something stirs in his soul. He doesn't draw the conclusion and understand fully because he's playing politics. But he identifies the stir of his spirit, and hoping that he wouldn't have the guilt of condemning an unjust man to death, or condemning a just man to an unjust death. He says, well, if it stirred me, it should stir them too. He goes and takes him out before the crowd and says, Ecce homo, behold the man. And on the account, in the account of Scripture, we read how they called out for his death, the majority of them. These same people who hailed him as their king come to redeem. Just a few days before on Palm Sunday, are calling out, crucify him, crucify him. They really don't identify Christ for who he is. And those words of Pontius Pilate, Ecce homo, behold the man. Behold the man, what do you make of him? Who is he to you? Are the same words that are presented to us today. Behold the man. Who is he to you? Is he a king? Is he a fool? Is he a victim? Is he God? These same words, my dear friends in Christ, Holy Mother of the Church uses when we go to Mass. Right before we receive our Lord. Or so we say, we believe. When he turns around and says, Ecce Agnus Dei, behold the Lamb of God. What do you make of him? Is it just a piece of bread? Is it the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now that we have identified who Christ is, have we taken the time to consider, now how do we approach him? Do we approach him as an equal? Do we approach him nonchalantly, as a routine, or something perhaps pride governs us to think that we deserve? Or do we approach him humbly? Why do we go to him? Do we want to have part of his love? Do we want to be fulfilled? Do we want our weaknesses? To be taken care of, our sicknesses and injuries, spiritual sicknesses and injuries, to be cured and healed. These are things that we have to consider on this feast of Christ the King. Yes, he is a king, but his kingdom is not of this world. It's also in this world, but it's not of this world. He wants to be the king of love, the king of hearts. He wants to abide one with our hearts. My will is to be with the children of men. Why do you think he demonstrates what he demonstrates every time we go to Mass, when we receive him in Holy Communion? He wants to be one with us. More intimately than two human beings could ever be with each other, God wants to be with his creatures. Do we see that? Do we recognize that? So many in the world don't. We are reminded of this folly every time we read the last gospel of Mass. And we should be warned of ourselves. Where it says, he was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. What was said for over 2,000 years ago is said today. He is in the world. We say that when we walk into church and we genuflect. Either we believe he's there, we're doing an empty action, or we're committing idolatry. He's in the world. The same one who was born at Bethlehem and who made the world and who died on the cross. Has come or will come on this altar in a few moments. Does the world as a whole know him? No. Do I, as an individual? Will I take time to know him? How do you get to know somebody? You talk to them. You let them talk to you. You communicate. You make them a part of your life. You allow them in. But just like at his birth, that knock came to the doors and they said, no, there's no room for you. We can't let them in when there's selfishness and anger and frustration, irritation, and the darkness and blackness that comes from another source that is in opposition to God. One thing about love, it can't be forced. Neither will the King of Love force himself to you. Oh, he'll demonstrate how much he loves you and waits. The next part in Scripture, he came unto his own and his own received him not. That is apropos to this day. The majority of people who call themselves Catholics don't receive our Lord. They reject him. They make up versions of Christ. They don't take our Lord for who he is. They make up for themselves their own commandments. They don't deny themselves. They don't follow Christ. And they throw down the cross if they have the opportunity to do so. They're looking for easier ways and other avenues. And there's only one way, because there's only one truth. There's only one way to have life, and that's Christ. On this feast of Christ the King, let us be a little serious with ourselves and asking ourselves to behold the man, to behold the host, to realize who it is that we have and see what we need to do in order to fulfill that great commandment to love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself for the love of God. Because being a part of the kingdom of the King of Love, we must demonstrate and share that love. That's why Christ says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. Yeah, that's our purpose. A love perfect cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the measure, but upon the lampstand so as to give light to all in the house. But we can't give what we don't have. If we want to be part of the kingdom of his love, we must first have it. And in order to have it, we have to identify it. We use our intellect to identify the goodness and love of Christ, and then a free will to accept it. Will we? Let us not only with our lips today renew our consecration to our Lord, but in our heart of hearts have the want to really make him the King and center of our hearts, of our homes, of ourselves. He demonstrates to us how much he loves us. What does he say to St. Margaret Mary? Behold this heart which has loved men so much that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself, in order to testify to them its love. At every last drop. And this is represented to us, not represented, represented to us every time we go to Mass. What return shall I make to the Lord for all that he has done to me? This King of Love that we behold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.